City Council come to order at 7:03. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. Muto?
Here.
Mr. Napa?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Seven present.
Councilman Lattiser, can you please lead us in the salute to the flag?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
First up is general communications. It's announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? Councilman DeLuise?
Yes, I'd just like to request a moment of silence for Mrs. Ann McCaffrey, mother of Senator McCaffrey.
A moment of silence for Ms. McCaffrey. Does anyone else have anything for general communications? Seeing none, next we have acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on February 10th, 2025. Do we have a motion?
Motion to move favorable.
Motion made by Councilman Napa, seconded by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Muto. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none. Next, we have public comment under Rule 41. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comments shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Ms. Vogel.
Good evening. Maureen Vogel, Ward 2. I'm here tonight to ask the town council to address the traffic issues in the Pilgrim Park Fairfax neighborhood. There is a solar-powered speed sign on Fairfax Avenue in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, which is regularly recording traffic passing at 35, 40, and 45 miles an hour. I've seen it higher than that. There are stop signs at the intersection of Pilgrim Parkway and Fairfax Drive, three of them to be exact. No one stops at those signs. The speeding on Pilgrim Parkway is out of control. I have been communicating with Councilman Ricks since last fall on these issues. Of late, there's an increased presence of the police department in the neighborhood, and however minimal and sporadic, we do appreciate that. However, it is not the responsibility of the police department to babysit this neighborhood. We need speed enforcement in the form of stop sign cameras and speed cameras, as they have in other cities like Providence. The police department, again, has done very well with being present to the degree that they can, but that's a band-aid on the issue. I understand that you cannot fully appreciate the gravity of the situation, but you need to park your car at Pilgrim High School and walk the distance of Pilgrim Parkway to fully appreciate the gravity of this situation. Ladies and gentlemen, Pilgrim Parkway is a fatality waiting to happen. Thank you.
Next is Mr. Cushman.
Evening, council members. I want to address the $9 million school department deficit, and I think all of us can agree tonight that staffing reductions need to be part of the solution to that problem. At the February 14th school committee meeting, the administration presented a plan that included minimal staff reductions. At the same time, they're asking for $16.2 million in local taxes in the next 4 years. They're anticipating $5.5 million in state aid, which 2.5 this coming year, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because we know the problem with the state is. So they're looking at $21.5 million in 4 years to help solve their deficit reduction program. And basically what their plan is doing, it's allowing the school department to continue to overspend on salary until the fourth year arrives and they get $21.5 million. And lo and behold, they balance their budget. So that is unacceptable. And I think, you know, Mayor Picozzi and the city council really have to enforce a strict staff reduction plan on the school department. Now, one of the things that I looked at, Appendix D of the Warwick Teachers contract states that the school committee can reduce positions beyond a 20-teacher limit. Right now, there's a 20-teacher limit, but the language says that based on the 2017 and 2018 per pupils, if you have a substantial reduction in number of pupils, then you can reduce as many as possible. Well, we've had a 14% reduction. I think it's about 1,400 students. So the school committee has the ability to cut as much staff as possible. Now, the problem I have with the Warwick Budget Commission is, are we jeopardizing the ability of the school committee to reduce the staff? When I look at section 459.1.4, the authorities and the powers, Warwick Public School Budget Commission shall have the power to amend, formulate, and execute the annual school budget. And that will be approved by the city council and by the mayor. That means the school committee no longer is going to have power to set the budget. So to me, once the law passes, I know you guys are meeting right now, and you're trying to do budget reductions and whatever, but I would think, and I'm not an attorney, we got some attorneys, that once that law passes, whatever you're doing with the school committee in terms of budget reduction and in terms of the budget is basically going to stop. One of the things also is, you know, when it comes to reducing staff, there are some legal requirements the school department has to do in terms of sending out notices and other kinds of things. And I think, you know, when the new law, you know, if it does go into effect, and I hear it's going to be passing pretty soon, is that, you know, are we taking that power away? And the reason I say that is that, you know, I've heard from some people that, well, the school committee could still lay off staff. Now, the commission can't. That's written into the law. So there's nothing written in the law that tells how is the interaction between the school committee and this commission going to work. And I can see the Warwick Teachers Union coming up a few, you know, so many months from now and saying, this law went to effect. You took the school committee's power away of doing a budget and a budget reduction. This commission cannot lay off staff. I could see them filing a lawsuit or a temporary restraining order to say, there's no staff reductions because this commission can't do it. You took the power away from the school committee. The school committee does not cut staff in the middle of a school year. You've got teachers that are working right now. So all I'm saying is, I think that some of the language, there needs to be some additional language. I know there's a sub A up at the State House. There was major modifications to that law. I think there should be modifications that talk about how the commission is going to interact with the school department in terms of budget reductions. Can the school committee still reduce staff? Can the budget commission recommend staff reductions? I know they can't actually do it. And, you know, like I said, I just don't want to see that the taxpayers get holding the bag, because right now they have, in this next fiscal year, I know we got about 30 seconds, they're laying off $23 million in savings from layoffs, right? It should be a lot higher than that. But if in fact that can't happen, what's going to happen is, forget about it falling back through staff reductions, you're going to have to raise taxes higher. You're going to have to give the school department more money. I just want to make sure, I don't agree with this commission. I thought we should have had an overseer for the entire city, because I think the city budget's worse than this, but that's a whole nother topic. All I'm saying is that I really think there should be something that looks at these laws and make sure whatever the school department, school committee could do in terms of laying off staff is still 100% that they can do that in conjunction with the budget commission. Thank you.
Well timed. Next is Mr. Langseth.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. We're going to talk about Buttonwoods Avenue once again and the Buttonwoods Fire District. And I wanted to bring to the City Council's attention a Supreme Court case, Clark versus Buttonwood Beach Association, where the Supreme Court found that the BBA president told plaintiffs, the Clarks, that they did not own the entire waterfront lot. The survey showed that part of the land described in their deed was also included in an 80-foot wide public way that was owned by the Beach Association, a public way found by the Supreme Court. The BFD, Buttonwoods Fire District, was described in trial testimony as the manager of all the common areas, and it has a special taxing authority enabling it to fund those maintenance obligations. Now, a taxing authority is a public government, as we know. The formation of the Buttonwood Fire District is really interesting. It was formed under the Constitution of 1843. We didn't have a new constitution until long after the fire district was formed. Article 4, Section 17 says, "Hereafter, when any bill shall be presented to either House of the General Assembly to create a corporation for any other than for religious, literary, or charitable purposes, or for a military or fire company." So in other words, if you want to form a fire company at 1925, you would go to the General Assembly and you would say, "I want to form a fire company." Now, if you do that, you get passage in a single session of the General Assembly. Otherwise, you have to come back after the people are reelected. You have to go through two sessions. So in order to form a private company or a company that can do anything but public service, you had to go to two sessions of the General Assembly. They did not do that. They went to one session. They are a fire company. I remember Mayor Solomon in the parking lot asking me, "A fire district? What's this fire district?" He said, "Where are the fire trucks?" And you know what? I went home and I thought about it. I said, "Really? I never thought about it before. Why is it a fire district?" It is a fire district because that's the only way they could get it through in a single session of the General Assembly. Forever after that, the bell has rung. They are a public entity. There is no private status at all. Another thing, the topic that came to mind is the survey of 1779. At that time, the United States was in rebellion, but the crown was still effectively the government, and they published a survey. The Parliament published a survey under the Surveyor General of the North Atlantic Coast. And what he found was three houses on Buttonwoods Avenue, the red farmhouse in Budlong Farm, the white farmhouse at the gates, and the yellow farmhouse in the Buttonwood Association itself. And a public highway ran all the way from East Greenwich all the way down to the Buttonwoods Point. This is incontroversial. You cannot argue that that does not exist. So what we're saying is there is a historic highway that runs from East Greenwich to Buttonwoods Point, by the way, where there was a ferry to go over to Oakland Beach. And that is the public highway that is still Buttonwoods Avenue today. So all of this, as you know, all of this, as you know, is going before the CRMC. But there are some things we need to address here in Warwick. The comprehensive plan says that Buttonwoods Avenue is a public highway all the way to the shore. Now the comprehensive plan might change, but it can't get rid of that. And then we also have the emergency plans, and we have other funding things where we really have to understand that the fire district is an integral part of government of Warwick, and you need to work with them on such things as emergency plans and all kinds of funding. And I thank you very much.
Appointments requiring confirmation, land trust. No, I gotta do this one, don't I? I gotta do the first one. First, we have Arlene Napa. Committee recommended favorable action, so I'll move favorable action. Do we have a second? Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any comments or questions by the council? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Recuse.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Six, yes, one.
Next, we have AJ Pandey for Land Trust Commission. This is intergovernmental. Councilman Napa.
Committee recommended favorable action.
So for action, Councilman Napa.
Recommended move favorable action.
Second.
So it was a motion for favorable action. Who's the second? Councilman Lattister. Any questions or comments from council? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Next, we have the consent calendar, PCR 26-25, resolution relative to bids. This is Councilman Lattisa.
Committee moves favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Napa. Any questions or comments from the council?
I'll read the items.
Please.
Item number one, 2024-385, street improvements. Item number three, 2025-358B, gasoline. Item number four, 2025-358C, gasoline. Number five, 2025-388, ballistic vests. Item number six, 2025-373, police undercover operations. Number seven, 2025 solar speed sign. Number eight, 2025-273, cloud-based QUAT software. Number nine, 2025-380, homicide investigation. Number 10, 2025-374, manage engine. And number 11, 2021-372, State of Rhode Island paint supplies.
Any questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Seven yes, motion passed.
Oh, unfinished business. First, we have an item pulled off the consent calendar.
We do. So formally, item 2025-358A, gasoline, has now become PCR 27-25. And there was it was a typo amendment in the budget code.
Do you have any action on the proposed amendment?
Yes, committee recommends favorable action.
Second.
Who is the second? Councilman Apple. So this is to amend PCR 27-25, formerly bid 2025-358A. Any questions or comments?
Do you need the budget code itself?
The amendment is to change on the background documents, code 63-234 to be 65-220, the same amounts as was originally. So mm-hmm. It's just changing the code itself.
Any questions or comments? So clerk will call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Seven yes.
All right. So now PCR 27-25 as amended stands before us. Are there any questions or comments on it? Shane, on, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action as amended on PCR 27-25.
Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. No questions, so clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Seven yes as amended.
All right. Next, new business, PCR 98-24. A resolution relative to the omnibus withdrawal of docketed items, undrafted, no longer relevant, necessary, or ready for action by current sponsors. This is intergovernmental, so Councilman Napa.
Committee recommends favorable action. Motion to move favorable.
So for action, Councilman Napa moves favorable action.
Anyone? Second.
Is a second. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Seven yes, motion passes.
Next is PCR 25-25, a resolution requesting the Rhode Island General Assembly to amend chapters 50 and 53 of the local acts and resolves of 2022 regarding the issuance of indebtedness for two new high schools and school facilities to expand the permitted use upon premium. This is intergovernmental and it's held till March 10th under no objection. Next we have unanimous consent, right? Yeah. Anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none, Councilman Lattiser, if you could move us to the docket session, please.
Yes, move this honorable body to the docket session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All against? All right. We're now in the docket session. No. All right, right. Actually, reminds me, I have to docket one for Ward 1. A resolution dedicating the walking path at North Country Field to Harry Carter. And this is on behalf of Councilman Foley. Councilman Ricks, do you have anything for the docket session?
Pass.
Councilman Napa?
Pass.
Councilman DeLuise?
Pass.
Councilman Lattiser?
Pass.
Councilman Muto? Councilman Kirby?
Pass.
All right, and then I am stuck with three. One's a resolution of the General Assembly. Next is amending council calendar for 2025. And then finally, ordinance in regards to no through trucking on Orchard Avenue. All right. We stand adjourned at 7:28 p.m. Thank you.
online.